This morning's scripture reading will be from Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Good morning, church. It is good to be home. And I think I can say that. This is homecoming time for a lot of schools. And it feels like homecoming for me. If you don't really know who I am, I'm Glenn Hawley. I was raised in this church. I was raised sitting in the pews before the pews were padded and nice like this, before there was air conditioning in the summer. It was I'm not going to say rustic, but it was different. But I was raised here, and later on I got to come back with my wife Leanna, and we spent 10 years raising our children here as well. And Southside will always have a special place in our hearts, in our lives, and it will, because of that, always feel a little bit like home. And that's the last time, by the way, I tell Danny Giambi anything personal about myself. Let me tell you about Ralph and Kay Richardson. Ralph is an elder that I worked with for many, many years. He and Kay are two of those very humble people that you meet in life. They had some means that they had that came to them, and some measure of income, and they always lived well below where they could have. But one of the things they always wanted to do was they were from East Tennessee to begin with, and they always wanted to have a cabin in the woods. And so in the Gatlinburg area, they built a beautiful chalet. And this is not so, well, I'll get to that in a minute. It was a beautiful chalet, and they built this. They used it for themselves as a kind of a retirement home for they thought, well, we'll go out there one day when we retire, and then we'll, you know, let others use it. They had missionaries who came in. They used it. Church retreats were out there. Our family had time that we spent out there. Beautiful, beautiful time in a beautiful place. And it was good until November of 2016, when the entire Gatlinburg, Tennessee area was engulfed in the Chimney Tops 2 forest fire. Large, large square miles burned to the ground. And their cabin had looked something like this. This is not a picture of it, but this gives you an idea of what the chalet, the cabin, looked like. And after the fire, it was just burned to the ground. There was just nothing left but the foundation. It wasn't mine. I was there a few times. I enjoyed it. But when I heard about this cabin burning down to the ground, it was like a punch in the gut to me. Maybe it's because I had some experiences with it. Maybe it's because I love the people so much. But it hurt to see something so beautiful that was just gone. Tomorrow, I'm going to be going to Fall Hall Glen to go to the preacher's retreat. This is kind of my annual trek back to Wisconsin, up to the woods. And for me, Fall Hall Glen is a holy place. It's one of those places on earth where I feel closer to God. And I know a lot of you have that relationship with that particular Christian youth camp. You've been there. You have memories from there. Some of you may have connections with other places similar to it. So I want you to imagine, if you will, that you get to go back to that place in a month. And it's burned to the ground. It's been absolutely consumed by the flames. There's nothing left. How would you feel? I mean, you'd feel like you had been physically attacked, wouldn't you? You'd feel like something had been ripped physically away from your life. Now, take that one step further. Let me take it one step beyond this and say, how would you feel if you knew that this camp had burned to the ground and it was the Lord's decision that God had brought this destruction about because of the sins of the people connected with the camp? That this wasn't an act of arson, it wasn't something that happened by accident, but it was an act of God in retribution for the sins of the people. I know that sounds crazy. That's a little nuts. But I want to look at a passage from the book of Lamentations today, and that image will help as we delve into this book. Now, Lamentations is a book all about the city of Jerusalem. And unless you know some of the background of the city of Jerusalem, it's going to be hard to really get the concept of what's going on in Lamentations. So let me tell you a little bit about Jerusalem. When King David became king over all of Israel, he had to fight a civil war to do that. There was a southern kingdom that he controlled. There was a northern kingdom controlled by the family from Benjamin. And so when he consolidated his power, he said, I need a capital city that is neither from the south nor from the north. And so he chose the city of Jerusalem. It was a city that had not belonged to Israel until that point. And they captured the city, and it was pretty close to the borders of both Judah and Benjamin. It helped everybody feel better about what was taking place. And Jerusalem, from that day forward, became his capital. In fact, they started calling it the City of David. Though he was not born there, this was his city. It was here he built his palace. It was here he put the seat of government. And it was here that he desired to build a temple for God. But God said, David, you're not the man. I'm going to let your son, Solomon, build the temple. So when David died, Solomon started building this temple, and it took years to build it. But it was gorgeous. Jerusalem is this city on the top of the hill, and the temple was this bright, shining building with gold and brass and all kinds of things that would gleam from a distance. You could see it from afar. It was beautiful, and more than that, it was the place where, if you could say anywhere in the world that God was here. This is where he was dwelling. The worship of God centered there in Jerusalem, and this was where his covenant people were supposed to assemble at certain times. And I say covenant people for a very special reason. God had made this covenant with Israel that said, I am going to be your God. I am going to be your protector. I'm going to be the one that blesses you. And in return, I expect that you have this singular relationship with me. So Israel would say, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He is our only God. Ten Commandments would say, you shall have no other God before me. There was this singular relationship that Israel had with God, and that was a part of their covenant. And for the next 400 years, after the temple was built, God took care of His people, and the people were supposed to have this worship relationship with God, this spiritual relationship with Him. But the problem was that more often than not, they didn't. They might worship God, but then they'd also worship any other god that seemingly came along, an Egyptian god, a Babylonian god, a Syrian god. They worshiped all of these gods. More often than not, they were completely unfaithful to Jehovah, to Yahweh. And this went on for the better part of 400 years. Think about 400 years. In 7 years, which seems like kind of a long way away for some of us, this country will celebrate 250 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Okay, 250 years. It's been a long time since that Revolutionary War. And yet, that's still young compared to the 400 years between David and the writing of Lamentations. During most of these 400 years, Israel is unfaithful to God. And God tolerates it. He sends His prophets to bring the people back. But for the most part, they reject the prophets. They don't want to hear that prophetic message. And then we get to the time of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet that had a ministry that spanned decades. He preached and preached and he preached to the people. And his first half of his ministry, his message was what the prophets had always said. You need to repent. You need to come back to God. You need to rebuild this relationship with Him. And maybe God will give you the blessings of the covenant. But there came a point in his ministry where God said, Jeremiah, you need to change your message. Because there's an army that's going to come and destroy Jerusalem. It's the Babylonian army. Nebuchadnezzar is going to walk in and Jerusalem will be gone. My people will be carried into exile. Stop telling the people to repent so they can be safe. What you need to tell them now is to surrender. When Babylonia comes a knocking, just give up and say, we will go willingly. And that's the best way you can be spared. But the people wouldn't listen to that message either. They wanted to hear messages of hope without responding in repentance. And so the day came when the great army from Babylon was outside the gates of Jerusalem. And they took the city down. Jeremiah sees the city sacked. A lot of the people have left to run away to Egypt. Others are killed. They're left lying in the streets. The walls are broken down. And that beautiful, beautiful temple that has stood for nearly 400 years is destroyed completely. The Ark of the Covenant, God's holy presence, has disappeared, gone forever. And the book of Lamentations is written as Jeremiah bears witness to the destruction. Jeremiah, he has been so faithful to God, but the people have been stubborn and unfaithful, not wanting to hear His message. So the book of Lamentations is 5 chapters containing 5 different poems, laments, about the city of Jerusalem and how bad it is. The first chapter begins this way. How deserted lies the city. Once so full of people. How like a widow is she who was once great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are upon her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is none to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her, and they have become her enemies. As you read through this first chapter, Jeremiah pictures the city of Jerusalem as a childless widow. She is a woman whose children have been killed in front of her. She has no one left. She is abandoned. The second chapter is a chapter that talks about the justice of God and the wrath of God. It begins this way: how the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with the cloud of His anger. He has hurled down the splendor of Israel from heaven to earth. By the way, if you look at the various chapters of Lamentations, most of them begin with this word, how. It's an exclamation of grief, of pain. And in Hebrew, that's the name of the book, is how. How all this has happened. As chapter 2 progresses, you hear more about this destruction, how very bad it is, how very difficult it is. The city is ruined. The city is in flame and ashes. And you think about the wrath of God and you think, that's not fair. We don't like to imagine the wrath of God. But for Jeremiah, the wrath of God is a righteous thing. Look at verse 14 of chapter 2. He says, the visions of your prophets, now these are false prophets, were false and worthless. They did not expose your sin to ward off your captivity. The oracles they gave you were false and misleading. In other words, what he's saying is this: you only listened to the people whose message you liked. You wanted to hear a prosperity kind of gospel, so that's what you listened to. You didn't want to hear a message of repentance. And so you're paying the price for it. Verse 17. Listen to what he says. The Lord has done what he planned. He has fulfilled his word, which he decreed long ago. He has overthrown you without pity. He has let his enemy gloat over you. He has exalted the horn of your foes. In other words, he says, this was a part of the covenant. When you made this covenant with God, God said, if you follow me, I will bless you over and over and over. If you don't follow me, I will bring destruction on you. And for the better part of four centuries, God's been tolerant. He's been gracious. He's been patient. But he says, no more. I am fulfilling the covenant, and I'm going to bring your destruction. And so he says, even in the wrath of God, God is faithful in what he does. And then we get to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is where Jeremiah personalizes the destruction. He says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than in light. As he goes on, the message of Jeremiah in chapter 3 is that he feels like God has forced him to watch this. Jeremiah wasn't guilty. Jeremiah followed God. And he kept telling the people that if they did not turn back to God, this is exactly what would happen. And then Jeremiah had to watch it. His beautiful city, the sacred temple, he had to see all of it destroyed. And now he walks among the ruins, forced to be a witness to what he never wanted to see. This is the moment where Jeremiah is probably in his deepest distress. Lamentations is a very dark book. And yet, it is out of this deep distress that we hear this word of hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Great is your faithfulness. It's one shining light in a book that's very dark. And frankly, when we see this verse put on some kind of poster, put on something like this, it usually looks more like this, right? It's sunshine and rainbows. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And this is where you can get to with the verse. This is where Jeremiah wants to take you. But as he writes it, this is where he is. He is in a very deep, dark place. He is in the rubble surrounded by dead, charred bodies of his friends. So the question I have is this. When you are in that dark place, when you're in that place where you feel like your life has collapsed around you, like everything has gone wrong, maybe because of your own actions, your own sins, how can you say the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases? His mercies never come to an end. How do you get to that place when you're coming from the dark? There's a song that a lot of you would be familiar with if you have watched the movie Shrek, if you have watched very many episodes of American Idol or some of those type of shows. It's a song called Hallelujah. One of the most covered songs of all time. It was written by Leonard Cohen in the 80s. And if you haven't heard the song, it is called Hallelujah, but it's a very melancholy, somber song. And Cohen said about the writing, I wanted to write something in the tradition of the Hallelujah choruses, but from a different point of view. He said, it's the notion that there is no perfection, that this is a broken world, and we live with broken hearts and broken lives, but still that is no alibi for anything. In other words, just because you're broken, that's not an excuse for you to look away from what you need. He goes on, on the contrary, you have to stand up and say hallelujah under those circumstances. And in the song, he talks about singing a broken hallelujah. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. Is a broken hallelujah. It's coming out of sorrow, not out of joy. And you say, well, I can't sing hallelujah in times of sorrow. But the key here is that you're not singing from your own heart. You're singing of your knowledge of who God is. Look at the verse. It's the steadfast, the perpetual love of the God, of the Lord, never, ever, ever ceases. And His mercies never, ever come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness, God. It's not about me and my circumstances. I may be hurting. I may be in a very dark place. I may have clouds surrounding me. But I know that God is faithful. Jeremiah knew that even in the punishment of Jerusalem, God is being faithful in that action at that time. He's not saying God will one day be faithful. He's saying God is faithful now. And in your life, right now, God will always be faithful. And sometimes God will take you by the lapels and shake you up. And He's still faithful in doing that. But God will renew His mercies, because that's who God is. We are the people who tend to be unfaithful. We try. We try to be good. We try to be right. We try to be holy. But honestly, our lives are a little bit like this. They're a little bit of a roller coaster. God is steady. He is faithful. He is the one who is always there. And for Jeremiah, who is going through the ashes, that is his one hope. Because he says, I know that even in these darkest of times, I can lean on God. And God will always be faithful. That's what we have to take with us. Because I would love to tell you that every day of your life, once you become a Christian, is just sunshine. It's the beautiful things, but it's not. The truth is that oftentimes we hurt. Oftentimes we're in that dark place. And that's when we need God most. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father, we love you. Whether we're hurting now or whether we are joyful right at this moment, we love you. We count on you in our very dark times as well as the good times. Father, I pray for the faithfulness of this community. I pray that we will be steadfast. I pray that we will take your character and make it our own. But I know, Father, that you are always faithful and steadfast and that you will always love us. And for this we're grateful. Father, for those here this morning who are hurting, let them lean on you. Father, for those here whose faith has been shaken recently, let them rely on you. For Father, you are the one, you're the only one who is always, always there for us. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song now, and if at this time you would like to come forward, ask for prayers of the congregation, if you'd like to speak to maybe one of the elders here, this is a time for you to respond. And you can do that as we stand and sing the song. Yeah.